right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 tonight. Romans chapter 16. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was talking about high blood pressure. And I was asking him what causes it or whatever. He seems to have a problem with it. It must have been his family or whatever. But he was talking about different things that happen with high blood pressure and what causes it, and the things that he needs to stay away from. And I've talked to people in the past, and they'll say, they'll give them a list of foods that they're supposed to avoid, or stress that they're supposed to avoid, or things like that that they got to sit down. They'll sit down and they'll get that list, and then at that moment there, what happens is they'll get that list and they'll begin to start looking at it. And when they go to the grocery store, they'll say, okay, here's some things that I got to have, and here's some things that I have to avoid because it's going to be bad for my blood pressure. And the same thing will happen with diabetes. When you have diabetes, it'll change your diet. You have to there's food that you have to avoid to keep that in check. And there's a lot of things there that, talking as far as health goes, there's a lot of things like that that has food that you have to avoid to keep things in check. And the Bible also talks about some things that we need to avoid. And what I want to preach about tonight, I just want to preach about some God-given avoidances. Just some things that God's told us in Scripture that we need to avoid. And we'll start off here in Romans chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 1, he's ending up this letter here with the church here at Rome. And he says this in verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her, the Lord, as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Let's see if I got this on. It's not on, is it? There it goes. All right, he says, that you receive her in the Lord, okay. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Down in verse 5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary. Verse 7 says, salute Andronicus and Junia. Verse 8 says, greet Amplius. Verse 9 is, salute Urbane. Verse 10, salute Apelles. Verse 11, salute Herodian. And he goes down through there, and he's talking about all these people. He's wanting them to salute, which is to greet them, be nice to them, be friendly to them. You go in and you talk to them. And he continues to sit there and name a lot of these names here of people that that a lot of times people don't even know who they are. But it goes to show you that, you know, there may be some famous people in Christianity, but God ain't forgot the people that's nobodies. And he goes down through there, and there's a lot of people there that the Apostle Paul remembers that's just doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're where they're at. They're serving God where they are. They're doing the things that they can do. They're just helping the Apostle Paul. And it says up there in that first one, talking about Phoebe, it says that that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she hath been a succorer, which means help, of many, and of myself also. And you see there, he's just pointing out Phoebe and talking about what a work she's doing, and ain't forgot who she is. And the Lord's even better than that. God even knows more than that. And when we get to heaven, we may not be somebody down here on the earth, but as long as we're doing something for the Lord and doing it with the right attitude and the right gumption and trying to do what God wants us to do, God don't forget it. Those things don't go unnoticed. And there's people in the Bible that's not even, their names aren't even mentioned. Talking about the widow there, the widow of Nain, and you've got people there in the Old Testament that helped the prophets that's not even named, but God knows who they are. And so it's good when you sit there and you look at that list of names and know that anything that you do, it's not vain as far as the Lord goes. But look at down at verse 16. He finishes up this with saying, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now look at verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And so what he's saying, look, when you get over here to Rome and you see all these different people, here's who I want you to talk to. You need to greet Phoebe, and you need to talk to Priscilla and Aquila and Urbane and whoever that is. That sounds like some French guy. And you talk to Urbane and all these different people. You salute them. You be kind to them. You help them with whatever you can do. But then after he gets done talking about that, he's naming some people you need to stay away from. And this type of preaching right here is not going to be popular in today, especially in America, as humanistic as it is. But it's still in the Bible. And what I'm talking about is God-given avoidances. And he says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." And when it says to mark them, you know what he's telling you to do? He's telling you to judge them. That's what he's saying. He said, you got to make a judgment call right here. You got to look at somebody, and you got to decide whether or not this guy's got the same doctrine that you have. And if he don't, then what you need to do is you make a decision there. You got to cut ties with him. You got to mark him, and then you have to avoid him. That's what God said to do, regardless of what everybody else says. God says there's some times you got to make some judgments. All right, he says, and the reason is, verse 18, he says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." And he said, the reason that you need to stay away from people like that is because they'll deceive you. And one of the problems that we have as a human being is we are easily deceived. We can be deceived very simply, and it don't take a whole lot to do it. And a lot of people say, well, I just don't agree with that, brother. I just don't agree that it's easily to be deceived. But it is. That's why that so much money spent on advertising. You look at deception. Salesmen are the best at it. They can talk to a lady, and they can start, if it's a salesman, say somebody with some furniture. And or you take one of these vacuum cleaners that they used to have a long time ago. I don't know what it had, water in it, a rainbow or something like that, like $1,500 for that vacuum cleaner. And they would come over and they would give you a demonstration. And what they would do is they'd take it and they'd lay it down there and they'd show you the water, how clear the water is. They say, see how clear that water is? Yeah, you just poured it in there. It's pretty clear, yeah. All right. So then what they'd do is they'd take it and they'd say, now, you don't realize how dirty your couch is. And they'd take that thing and they'd start running water through your couch, and then it would just start dragging it back out. Now, you know what's inside that couch is dust. When you get dust and you get water together, it's going to turn it dirty looking. And he looks at it and he says, now see, a vacuum cleaner can't get all that up. What you got to have, you got to have something like this, and he'll go through it and he'll just wash it and vacuum it right through there, and it looks real clean. And what happens is a person turns around and spends $1,500 on a vacuum cleaner. And this ain't doing nothing no different than what it would be doing if it was just a regular vacuum cleaner getting the dust out of it. It may be a little bit better. I don't know if it's $1,300 much more better or not. But there's a lot of people that's been deceived enough to spend that much money on it. You take lawnmowers. Now, I'm one of these guys, I like to mow. I enjoy mowing. I've always liked mowing. And there ain't nothing like a good riding lawnmower. I mean, it's just nice. And you go, I mean, you step up from just got a 22-inch push mower. And half an acre or something like that, and you're pushing that thing and sweating and all that stuff, and all of a sudden you step up to a nice riding lawnmower. And the next thing you're doing now, instead of pushing and sweating, you're driving fast enough where you're actually getting some wind on you. And now I got cup holders sitting there, and you can actually get something out, kind of put a shade on the sun. You can sit up there and you just cruise around for a while. And it's pretty nice. And salesmen don't even have to work hard with me with lawnmowers. You go from that, though, what they got now, those things with those two handles on it, at zero turn, you're sitting here feeling like you're driving a tank, man. You can just spin, you can go this way, you can go that way. You know, you may have a half an acre take you 20 minutes with a push mower, but you got to have that new zero turn lawnmower. So what is that? That's deception. They deceive the hearts of the simple. And what they do is, because what people do is they'll come in, they'll start showing you some things that you need or some things that you want. And what they'll begin to do is they'll try to deceive you. And he says right there, he says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So they're marking some people they're after. That's the hearts of the simple. And what they're going to use is they're going to use good words and fair speeches, which is what people's always telling. Well, you just need to be nice. You know, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with sugar than you can with salt, whatever, however they say that stuff. But the point is, we're not trying to catch flies. And you want to be giving somebody the truth. You're not worried about being simple or being giving them some fair speeches. That's what politicians do today. It's fair speeches. They sit there and they'll tell you what you want to hear, and they'll tell you exactly how you want to hear it, and they'll tickle your ears. And what Paul's saying to these guys, he's saying you need to mark these type of people. They've always got good words. They got fair speeches, and they're out to deceive the hearts of the simple. And he's talking about a certain thing here. Look what he's talking about in verse 17. He says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So he's talking about doctrine there. That's what he's talking about. You're going to hear people say, well, I don't believe in all that doctrine. You need to stay away from doctrine. No, you don't. You got to have doctrine. You got to stay with doctrine. And look over at Titus. Now, I'll show you some doctrine he's talking about here. When we get over here, now, as a preacher, you have to preach, and you have to show some things, and you got to make some suggestions. But here's the fact. The fact is that everybody sitting in here is at a different level. And when it comes to convictions, people are different. And there may be somebody sitting in here today that's not been saved long, and as far as their dress code, they may not even be thinking about it. And it's up to some Christians that's been in church for a long time to have grace with somebody that's a new Christian, and they don't know how to dress right yet, and they're trying to learn. You don't just go up to them, start trying to give them a list of stuff to do, because God don't have it that way anymore. It's not about law. It's about you having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and Him getting things out of your life as He wants them out of your life. And as Christians, as spiritual, we're supposed to be able to have grace. And so the point I'm making is, as we sit here and talk about this doctrine, what it's going to get into is, it's going to get into some things that are ambiguous, I guess, and one person may look at it and say, you know what, these are some things, according to this, that I need to get out of my life. And that person can't take it and say, well, I need to apply that to this person over here too, and make them go by my convictions. That ain't the way it works. And he's sitting here talking about this doctrine here, this doctrine that you learned, and he says go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, I'm sorry. He says in verse 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now you see that right there? It becometh holiness. Now what you can do is you can sit down there, and me and Brother Joy sit right there, and we can sit down and we can start talking about holiness and what we believe about holiness. You know, we can say, well, it's got to do with how you dress, or it's got to do with how you talk, it's got to do with how you act, or whatever. But you know what needs to happen? Is each person, each individual person needs to get along with the Lord Jesus Christ and to begin to say, you know what, God, what's some things you want me to get out of my life? And when he's talking about this sound doctrine, it's dealing with your walk. He says, not false accusers, not giving much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now you see that right there? Here's what happens. Here's how this thing works. You get a couple of people in church, and they're real good friends or whatever, and something's going on. Well, all of a sudden, they have a little problem. Maybe they have a little spat. They have a little argument. Maybe one of them says something that the other one don't agree with, and as soon as that happens, this other person, what he begins to do is he begins to look at that person, and he starts picking him apart. Well, the Bible says sound speech. Now, I just don't know for sure the way he's talking. And they go talk to somebody else, and I'll say, now, see there? Now, that guy says he's a Christian. Now, what kind of, does that sound, you think that sounds speech? And that's what happens. But what we got to do is we got to deal with our own selves. God doesn't give us these rules for us to check everybody else out. He gives them for us. And he talks about sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. And he goes down through there, go down to verse 12. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so when he starts talking about this doctrine here, he's talking about things that he's learned about his walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a person sits here as a Christian, what they ought to do is they ought to be able to read this and we look at this thing, and we ought to be able to check ourselves with it. You know, so if you're a lady in here today, you ought to be able to look at this in verse 3 and say that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now, if you had to answer that tonight, ladies, where would you be? Now, I don't want nobody to talk out loud or any of that stuff. That's just a question that you've got with your own self. Behavior that becometh holiness. What about not false accusers? You see that? Not false accusers. Not giving them much wine. Teachers of good things. Now, that not giving them much wine is, as far as I'm concerned there, you just got to go by the Bible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Bible gives some allowances to drink wine. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And so he's given an allowance there to be able to drink wine for infirmities. And we don't even have to do that anymore because of the medicine that we have. If you get cough syrup, you're going to have some of that in it. And you used to get the old timers there. They used to have liquor there that they took care of. Now, that ain't talking about going out and getting soppy drunk and acting like you got a cough every day. Now, what he's saying is, he says, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things. Now, what a woman needs to do is she needs to sit down and she needs to say, okay, how am I doing on this? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. They're supposed to be teaching young women to be sober and to love their husbands. Now, you see that? Here's what you got today. Not in here in the church, but I'm just saying, you get on those talk shows, and what they're saying is, if your husband ain't doing this, you ain't doing this, and if he's domineering over top of you, or if he's not letting you be half and half, and you're making the part of the decisions and all this stuff, they're not teaching young ladies to love their husbands today. And it says to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Ooh. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Then he says this. Now, if you're a young man in here tonight, look what it says. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. How's your speech, boys? I mean, you sit there. The Bible says let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Young boys here, you're at school. Bunch of kids hanging around. What about it? I'm not getting on to you. What I'm saying is, that's what you ought to be doing. And you sit there looking at this verse here today, and you ain't ever thought of nothing about it in a long time, then you know what you need to do? You need to look at these verses. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. And obviously there, God gives allowance for slavery. That's not talking about work. What that's talking about, it's talking about slavery. It's talking about servants and masters. But now a person can apply that at the workplace if God's leading them that way. They need to be obedient. They need to be doing what their boss tells them to do, have a good attitude. Verse 10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And so what he's going down through here, he's just showing you this doctrine. And he's saying, if you've got somebody, then they're against this type of doctrine right here, and then you need to mark them, you need to avoid them. One time I made this little sheet right here, I think I did, or somebody else might have gave it to me, but it's on my computer. And what I did, just because I didn't know for sure what other people believed, I just wrote this little paper out, and it's a denomination. And I've got Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, Church of God. Then I got over here, heaven, Jehovah's Witness, believes we live on the earth, hell, doesn't believe in a hell, how to get to heaven, good works till you die. How to stay on the earth, I guess. Mormons. Believe men become a god over their own planet, and their wife populates this planet by having spirit babies. So that's what a Mormon lady gets to look to. They get to be eternally pregnant. Can't wait to get there, right? They believe in hell? Yes. How to get to heaven? Good works till you die. Baptism, standing good standing with the church. Catholics, heaven? Yes. Hell? Yes. They believe in hell plus purgatory. Sacraments, mass, good works till you die, sprinkling, standing, good standing, all that stuff down through there. You say, what do you do that for? Because I want to know what they believe. And you can't mark somebody and say, hey, I need to avoid some people and stay away from them. Now, this is somebody, this ain't just like every Catholic you know. I've got friends that are Catholics that I can spend time with. They're friends of mine. But now, if I'm around somebody that's a Catholic and they're sitting there and they're trying to change people and they're trying to get people to come to their side, they're coming to their church and they're messing them up, they're getting them and moving them. Jehovah's Witnesses, they get a lot of Baptists that don't know the Bible, they don't study the Bible, they don't know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. They take verses out of this Bible. You got people that try to mess up people's belief in a King James Bible. You know what you need to do? You need to mark those people and you need to avoid them. Those are God-given avoidances. Go back to Romans chapter 16. Something that God said to do is He said, you need to stay away from some people. And there's some people that you just need to stay away from. You need to stay away because of they're going to be deceiving. And He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And it's through, He's talking about, He says, in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. And those divisions that you have there, some of them are carnal. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you can have some carnal divisions among church members. Just over some silly things about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just some things they disagree with. And because they disagree with it, well, I'm of Paul, well, I'm of Apollos. And they start that stuff. Those that's carnal, that shows their carnality. And there's divisions. And then you have over there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, you're talking about 1 Corinthians 11, 18, 19, you're talking about heretical divisions. There's some people there that's causing divisions because of heresies. They're pulling some people off. And so he's saying this, he says, you need to mark these people that are causing divisions and they're causing offenses. And offenses is basically just a transgression. Look at Galatians chapter 4. And folks, here's what's going to happen. You know what you got? You get around some people and you start being around them, and all of a sudden what they're trying to do is they start trying to get you back under the law. And that's what I was saying a while ago about your convictions. There's some things that you need to have that God showed you and that nobody else showed you. Don't get your convictions from your coworker or from anybody else. You need to get in the Bible and get with it yourself, because those convictions that you got are not giving you a better standing with God. That has nothing to do with your fellowship there. That right there with your convictions there and what you're trying to keep from doing there, it's got to do with your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says here in Galatians 4, look down at verse 17. Here's what happens. You get around some people there that have some different beliefs than you are, and what they'll do is they'll start getting you to cause some offenses. It says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. He says, you're hanging around with some people, they're affecting you, they're zealously affecting you, they're getting you fired up, but they're affecting you the wrong way. Look over at Galatians chapter 2, and see what he's talking about here. This is the same chapter here. He's talking about the type of people. He says this in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now what they're doing is some people that believe in works to get saved and works to stay saved. And you got people like that all over the county here, the people that you're around all the time. You got preachers that you're going to have to deal with that believe that right there. Works to stay saved and works to get saved. And what you have to do as a Christian is to be ready. You got to mark them. If you got some people that are messing some people up doctrinally, you got to know who those people are. You got to tell your other Christian friends, say, listen, you got to stay away from that guy right there because he's going to mess you up. He's trying to pervert the gospel. He's trying to trouble you. He's trying to mess you up. There are some things that God's given us in His Bible, God-given avoidances that He's expecting us, just like somebody that's got blood pressure problems, saying there's different types of food that you need to avoid. God said there's some people in this life, in this world, that you need to stay away from. Just get away from them. The second thing is, there's something that you need to avoid. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The reason you stay away from those people is because they can deceive you. And it's talking about your walk. It's talking about that doctrine of your walk there. And over there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 where you was looking. And some things that people ought to be checking their own self out on. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 17. He says, charge them are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Then he says this in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. You know what he's saying? He said there's some things that you need to avoid, and one of them is some profane and vain babblings. And that's what you're going to get in this world today. You start talking to these, especially young people today. You got college kids especially that you deal with, and they've got all these cute little sayings that they're always going to come up with and try to argue with. You know, they'll say stuff like, well, you know, some people, you'll see something going on, somebody will say, why? And what I do is I say, why not? And they talk to you like you're stupid, and they look down at you, and they come up with these vain, profane and vain babblings and just talking, and you need to question everything. You don't need to question everything. There's some things that you don't need to question. How do we even know we're here? How do we even know we're here? You talk to the guys, you know, me and you are sitting here talking. This may not even be me and you. I said, buddy, listen. I don't have to answer that question. If you're having a problem with that, you need to be in a rubber room is what you need to be. I'm here, you're there, there ain't no question about it. We're here. There's some stuff that you don't even need to worry about. And what happens is you get these people, they do those things, they got these funny little sayings or questions or comments or all this stuff, and when they want to do something wrong, a lot of Christians, here's what they'll say. Well, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? When somebody's wanting to do something, that's what they say. What's wrong with it? Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 14. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, but shun, which is avoid, but shun profane and vain babblings. Why? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, that right there, friends, is where the devil gets in at. That right there is how he works. Is what's this going to lead to? Now, what we'll do is we're going to sit here and we're going to look at something. God's going to deal with us about something. Preacher's going to preach a message. You're going to be reading something in the Bible. You'll be talking about something. What's going to happen is it's going to be in your mind, well, I better not do this. But then all of a sudden it becomes a fad and everybody's doing it. Now you won't do it. And you got to start questioning and think, well, what's wrong with it? I mean, really, I mean, you know, over in another country, that's the way they do it. You ain't in another country. We'll come up with every kind of way in the world to try to figure out how to justify something that we want to do. And he said this. He said, it's going to increase unto more ungodliness. Well, what's ungodliness? God called over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, 6, I believe. He called Sodom and Gomorrah. That's ungodliness. That right there. And he said, that's what's ungodly. Things like that, Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuals, queers, that's what's ungodly. And so God begins to sit here and deal with them. He says, you need to shun these sayings, this stuff like, well, what's wrong with it? Because it's going to lead to more ungodliness. Let me give you an example of how this thing works. Now, I've got a timeline here. I done studied one time about movies and how things have evolved through the years. The first time in 1941, you had the longest uninterrupted screen kiss. And that record was held until 1988. Imagine that. And then in 1946, you had a certificate of approval. Now, what happened was with movies is they had to get this certificate of approval to be able to show these movies. And it says, 1946, certificate of approval was withdrawn from The Outlaw, which showed Jane Russell with a low-cut blouse. That's all it was. She just had on her shirt unbuttoned down a little too far. Now, can you imagine that? Think about movies today. Think about commercials today. Think about just things that you see when you walk into Walmart. That's in 1946. That's what's going on. So they get this certificate of approval withdrawn just because Jane Russell had a low-cut blouse. Now, go on a few years later, about 8 years later, 7 years later, 1953, Otto Preminger's The Moon's Blue uses the forbidden word virgin, thus deliberately violated the production code and led to picket lines. It was the first studio-produced film from Hollywood that was released without an approved production code seal. It was a deliberate test. It proved to be a major hit film despite its lack of the seal. It was a major turn for less censorship. So they went ahead and released it without that production code, just see what would happen. And it became a big hit. So after that, the production code is going to have to change the way it was, and it changed censorship, or nobody's going to pay to get that production code sealed. So 1955. So you're just going right down the line. 1955, what are you talking about? Increasing unto more ungodliness. 1955, Blackboard Jungle was released. First film to feature a rock and roll song and inspired next year's hit, Rock Around the Clock. Also in 1955, United Artists withdrew from the Motion Picture Association of America when it refused to issue a production code seal to its controversial film about drug addiction. The film's success helped to loosen restrictions on such films. The code was amended to permit portrayals of prostitution and abortion, as well as light profanity. It used the words H-E-L-L and D-A-M-N. That's the first time those words were used. That's 1955. 1957, And God Created Woman was released, ushering in a new level of sexuality films. This was the first time a woman wore a bikini in a film. 1957, she's got on a bikini. 1946, they were mad because Jane Russell just unbuttoned her shirt too low. That's 11 years, that's the difference. 11 years ago is 2004. Just think about how, you say, what is that? Increasing unto more ungodliness. And you look at those movies and how that stuff happened. 1963, this movie came out called Promises, Promises. First actress to appear nude in a movie. That's in 1963. That's from 1946 to 1963. That's what, 17 years? 1966, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf became the first film to use profane expletives such as GD. This marked the beginning of the breakdown of the existing system of self-regulation and censorship, starting the relaxing of code standards. Also in 1966, a movie called Blow Up introduces a glimpse of full-frontal female nudity. And it just goes on and on. And the 70s were just as bad as stuff I wouldn't even want to read here, what went on in the 70s. And you say, what is that? That's just increasing unto more ungodliness. That's why God says stay away from things about, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with just unbuttoning your shirt down a little bit? What's wrong with hiking your skirt up just a little bit? What's wrong with the guy flirting with a girl just a little bit? It's that stuff right there where we say, what's wrong with it? You know what God said? God said, avoid profane and vain babblings. They're going to increase unto more ungodliness. Speaking of the miniskirt, it took off right there through those same years there. You got tattoos. Tattoos in 1970 is what they say about them. After fizzling out because of its connection to motorcycle gangs, sailors, and rebels, the tattoo made a comeback and now is as normal as Air Jordans. The female lower back tattoo is a craze today and is believed to be one of the most sensual of all tattoos. This is why the short shirt is popular with females. Body piercing. Also in 1970, a group of 200 kids, mostly jobless and school dropouts, began a fad of anti-pretty fashion. This was known as punk fashion. Because they had little or no income, they began to cut up old clothes from charity and thrift shops, destroying the fabric and reconstructing it to draw attention. Trousers were deliberately torn to reveal laddered tights and dirty legs. Safety pins and chains held bits of fabric together. And see, guys, you all thought that. I just thought that. I just like clothes like that. I come up with it. That started back in the 1970s. The placement of body jewelry and tattoos of the new punks was deliberately intended to offend the more conventional members of society. The men began to sport facial jewelry and three-stud earlobe, progressing to the whole ear outline embedded with ear studs. What started out as a movement to be uncool and proud of it, out of the popular crowd, it caught on, became a thing to do. Goths sporting nose studs in the early 80s followed this. Then in the 1990s, belly, tongue, and piercing all over the body. And you look at the same thing with the TV. The 70s had sitcoms such as Father Knows Best, Andy Griffith, Beverly Hillbillies, and it was all taken out. They started getting new sitcoms in. The 80s saw the push of bratty, talkback kids, dysfunctional families, and loud, stubborn, controlling women. And you had shows like Married with Children with Al Bundy, Roseanne featuring the mother of all loudmouths, Roseanne Barr. The 1990s brought teenage sitcoms that led us to believe that teens were responsible enough to have sexual relationships, such as 90210, that really had people that was like 25, 26, 27 years old playing 14, 15, 16-year-olds. Saved by the Bell and countless others. Everything now must have sexual innuendos or they're boring. TV shaped the thoughts on drugs, sex, music, sexually transmitted diseases, manhood, womanhood, and what we think about homosexuals. The list goes on and on. You say, what is that? That's increasing unto more ungodliness. Amen. And guys, see, listen, you young guys sitting here tonight, you're sitting here and you got
older people, all those old fogies and all this stuff. Well, you can see it. And if a person's honest, they can see how one thing leads to something else, and the standard just goes different and different and different and gets worse, 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 worse. That's the way it works. And that's what God says. He says, you know what you need to do? He says you need to avoid some things, especially those vain and profane babblings, because they will increase unto more ungodliness. All right, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we're at in. How did that go? That's good. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says down in verse 23, he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And so you've got some stuff there. Look over at Titus chapter 3. Go to Titus chapter 3. And what you got there, you've got some foolish and unlearned questions. It's gender and strife. It's causing problems. In Titus chapter 3, what happens is, Three five shows you what being saved is. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's salvation right there. And then down in verse 8, He also shows you what good works is for. It has nothing to do with salvation. Look what He says in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, people that got saved, might be careful to maintain good works. Why? So you can stay saved? No. These things are good and profitable unto men. But now look in verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And so he's saying you need to avoid these foolish questions. And when you start getting into stuff about the law, like convictions, it's a sad thing when people start getting in arguments over convictions and start having problems, and you get strife and you get contentions and you get this stuff that's going on because it's unprofitable. What he's saying is you need to worry about keeping having good works, maintaining good works, doing what's good. And when we get caught up with arguments about the law, and we're dealing with foolish questions and questions about the law and stuff like that, we're losing focus on what God wants us to do. We're getting distracted. And so what God says is, He said, just avoid those things. Just stay out of them. And God's got some things in here, and He's got a few other things there. We're just going to go ahead and slow down right here at the end of this thing. But what you've got is God has got some things in this Bible that we need to avoid. And He says, God says, look, you know, don't worry about what somebody else is telling you to do to live for God, or your convictions, or what you need to avoid. He says, I've got some stuff right here in black and white. And we ain't worried about what people think about us judging people. You know what God said? God said, mark them. He said, find them, and He said, mark them, and then avoid them. Get away from them. You judge them, and then you get away from them. That's what He's saying. That's what God's saying. And He also was sitting there talking about things that's going to lead to more ungodliness. Guys, we have got to sit here and realize the way the devil works. It is never the complete end of a matter the way that Satan works. It's always just a foot in the door. And then it's just a conversation. That's what the deal was with Eve. Just a conversation. If he can just get you to talk to him so he can get those questions in there, well, what's wrong with it? Well, what's the problem? Well, I know a preacher that does this right here. Well, I know a Sunday school teacher, and she dresses like this right here. And the point is quit entertaining those conversations with Satan. You got to get in a book, and you got to decide, you know what? Every decision I make, young people, every decision you make is going to open the door to another decision. Adults, it's the same thing with us. Every decision we make, we go on a computer, we click on something, you know what you got? You've got 10 more things on that article that you can click on that you wasn't even looking at before. Every place you go on a computer, everything that you do, it can lead to more ungodliness. And what a person has to do is they got to get down, just like somebody with blood pressure, and they got to say, you know what? Here's the things I have to avoid. Here's the things I have that I can enjoy. And they got to get a list down. They got to sit down. They got to look at those things. And they got to make a decision on what they're going to do. But you have to have discernment. You have to have an ability to look at it and say, you know what? This can bother me. I'm not strong enough to handle this. This is going to lead from here. It can go to there. From there, it can go to there. And the end of it is over here in a jail. I mean, you've got alcoholics start that way. Drug addicts start that way. Fornicators start that way. Everybody starts off with that first simple step of whatever it takes to get to that end. You know what Satan's going to do? He's going to say, hey, you don't need to go to church tonight. And he says, you don't want to go to church. You're tired. You've worked all week. You've done this, this, and this for God this week. Just take a night off. And you say, no, I ain't going to do it. No, I ain't going to do it. And eventually what happens is a person says, I'm going to do it. Now, as Brother Dill was preached up here plenty of times, me too, that if a person has to miss, if they're sick, they got to miss, something comes up, they got to miss, there's nobody up here trying to put convictions on you and making you feel bad when you shouldn't. But now at the same time, you know there's times that we can sit here and we can build something up a little worse than what it really is. And we can say, you know what? I'm feeling kind of sick today, or I'm feeling a little down in the weather, and we can make it a little bit worse than what it is. You know what Gary Boyd told me one time? He said, God's reasonable. God's reasonable. And if I go over, I take my kid over to Children's Hospital at 11 o'clock at night, and I'm over there in the middle of that hospital till 4 or 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. I get back, it's 8 o'clock, I've been up all night long, and I don't go to church. You know what? God's reasonable. Now, places you work for, they ain't reasonable. They want you to be at work. They don't care what you did the night before, but God's reasonable. And with that, He expects us to be reasonable. And we have to really sit down and look at ourselves sometimes and say, you know what? Am I just hamming this up? Or is this really a reason? And I'm not saying it to get you to show up. I'm saying it because I want to help you. Because one thing leads to another, which leads to another. Everything we do in life is got an opportunity to open up and be something bad. And we have to be circumspect. We have to look around. Over there, it's talking about, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at this list of things there. It's talking about women. And he says, now she that is desolate, or Titus, I'm sorry, Titus. It says that aged women likewise, that aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, or much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You look at that list right there. That's not what he tells men to do. I wonder why. I wonder why he tells women that and not men. And then he sits down there and starts talking about young men. He starts talking about sound speech. I wonder why he deals with men about that. You know why? Because young men like to spice up their words. And all I'm saying is you take a guy who don't cuss, and all of a sudden he decides to let one word slip out because he's there, and he don't want to look silly or whatever. Well, that word right there is going to lead to another word, which is going to lead to another word. The next thing you know, it's just all the time. It's just a foul mouth. And it's easy to do. And as Christians, all I'm saying is this right here. God said we need to avoid some things. We need to avoid some things. And as parents, we need to make sure that we're letting our kids avoid some things. And when you look at this stuff with TV or radio or music or cell phones or computers, Satan's in the middle of all those mediums, and what he's trying to do is he's just trying to get a foot in the door. And as parents, we got to watch ourselves. We got to be circumspect, and we got to make sure we're with our kids and we're watching them. And check them out. How's a kid change? You see how that movie changed in 11 years. How's a kid change in 11 years? What he's doing now as opposed to what he was doing 11 years ago. What about an adult? What they're doing now, what they're allowing in their life now that they were 11 years ago. And it's something that we got to check, because God says, you know what? There's some things you need to avoid. All right, let's all stand. We'll have somebody come to the piano. If anybody's...